This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Well, the baseball's going on. So is March Madness. But we've already talked about it. And we'll just let you watch that. Hopefully with the sound off and listening to us. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk some football.
Talk about the football!
Got some things to discuss here. One being what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. But
that little bitch.
First, there is something that has now been deemed a violent gesture and so will result in a 15-yard penalty.
This is so dumb.
This was sent to teams in a league memo this week, and yeah. That is the nose wipe.
Yep.
The nose wipe. Often you see CeeDee Lamb of the Cowboys doing this. Will, I'm going to go ahead and do it for you here live on the air. It's like when they do this.
It's like this.
Yeah, like that. Exactly.
Can't do it.
You are no longer allowed to do that. They said, gestures shall include but not be limited to a throat slash, simulated firing or brandishing of a gun, or using the nose wipe. And CD's not happy about it.
Yes. It is. It feels like it is pointed directly at him.
He says, SMH, I have plenty in mind. I don't know what that means, but
shaking my head.
Well, I know what that means. I have plenty in mind. What does that mean?
I think he just means he's got other
things in mind,
other things that he can do. Okay. Right. You take this away because it has become something very popular. Now, I did not know the meaning behind it, but I guess it's associated with gangs.
So. Yeah, I was going to ask. I thought maybe Will would be able to help us out with this, being one of the kids. What is that gesture? What's the...
So I did not.
What are we doing there?
I did not know. And so when I looked it up, when I saw that this was a penalty, they said
you are violently attacking your ops.
What?
Your oppositions.
Oh. See, I thought it was the one that I saw was that it was associated with either the Bloods or the Crips, and it was meant to that the guy that you're doing it to is like untrustworthy. He's like a snitch. And so, you know, you're basically, it was meant to be that like when you're doing that, you're telling that the defender can't be trusted. You can't guard me I'll get whatever I want on you. And but because it's associated with gangs where it originated, that now it's being lumped into that same thing as using a gun and whatnot. I don't know. I love that this is the NFL. I don't know. Has anyone ever done this and been like, I need to go join the Bloods or the Crips?
Well, yeah. I mean, every time I see it, I'm like, what are they doing?
I don't know. I guess what they're saying is you can't guard me. You are untrustworthy to guard me.
But what I'm saying is every time I see the guy do it on the field, I don't know. Like, it means nothing to me because I'm an old white guy.
Yes.
You know?
Well, it means something in the NFL now.
So why? I don't know. Was anybody offended that somebody was doing this? I don't know. Anyway, 15-yard penalty now. Screw you. You can't do it.
Yeah.
Although I just did it.
Yeah. Every now and then, like I said, who is it? Someone recently they said that it was firing a gun. Anything that simulates guns, violence, throat slash, whatever. Last year, I forget who it was, someone got caught and it was an absolute ridiculous, but they said it was a gun celebration and they hit him with a 15-yard penalty.
Oh, yeah. He had gotten the first down and he did it like this, yeah. But the thumb was up. You're thinking of RJ Lewis. So when Jalen Brunson was hitting his threes, he'd show his threes with the thumb and the two fingers.
Can't have the thumb up.
RJ Lewis hit a three in the first game for St. John's and he did this after he hit it and they teed him up.
Yeah. It's like the Key and Peele thing. Okay. There's only so many thrusts. If you point... But you're fine. But the moment that thumb goes up, and then when you if you cock some fingers, you're out. Can't do it. Can't have the kids mimicking it.
One guy on our text line said he thought it was you're smelling your finger after getting some, you know, good, you know what.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Yeah, I could see that.
I've had that thought myself. But then I'm like, well, I don't think that's it. And
who knows
what.
It's so...
I had that thought.
That's where you went. You're like, CeeDee Lamb just cooked that guy, so he's now...
Yeah, I did think... My first inclination when I saw that was that that's what that meant.
If you are smelling your finger, I am with you. I kind of thought that's what smelling your finger was, but it's not really a smelling of the finger. That's more of a wiping of the finger. You can do a pull my... I don't know. The NFL is very concerned about fingers and what those fingers are up to, and you can't be doing that. No more fingering in the NFL. It's out! It's out.
So what the hell's going on with Rodgers?
Well,
what are we waiting on now?
Well, really nothing. Schefter had it today where, so the Giants, they signed Jameis and then they went out and signed Russell Wilson. So they're done, right? Minnesota has said, thanks, but no thanks. We're going JJ McCarthy. We don't want this nonsense in the building. And that leaves the Pittsburgh Steelers. Seemingly the last option for Aaron Rodgers is the Pittsburgh Steelers, unless we get some surprise suitor. So, a week ago, Aaron Rodgers was in Pittsburgh. He was in the building. He was talking with them. And seemingly at this point, the only option he has is Pittsburgh. But because something isn't done, now we're asking the question. This is your only chance, really, to be a starting quarterback. Pittsburgh clearly wants you. They haven't signed anyone. You're their last hope, because other than that, it's Mason Rudolph. So now Adam Schefter was on today. I forget who he was talking to, but I was watching. I think it was with the guys in Milwaukee. I think he was on with like Mark Tremor and some guys. And he was saying that there is some speculation now that Aaron Rodgers just doesn't want to play. That Aaron Rodgers he's pissed. He's upset that no one wants him. He's upset that people aren't willing to acquiesce to his demands. They don't want to run his offense. And that he's not happy with the money compensation that people are offering him. So Aaron Rodgers may be taking his ball and just going home.
Wow.
And then he may not want to play. Because at this point, it does appear that it is either the Pittsburgh Steelers or not playing. And if it is Pittsburgh, what are we doing? It shouldn't take this long. When you go visit a team, it doesn't take a week to figure out whether or not you want to go there. And we already had Cam Hayward basically come out and put him on blast. He tried to walk back those comments because he realizes without Aaron Rodgers, Pittsburgh doesn't have a quarterback. But essentially at this point, Pittsburgh is sitting around waiting on Aaron Rodgers, and we don't know if Rodgers wants to do this or not.
Well, the Vikings GM had some interesting comments yesterday. I don't know if you saw those.
I did not. What did he say?
Well, the report was while you were gone that the Vikings were out.
Yeah.
And they were going with McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Vikings GM, a day later, was interviewed and did one of those, you know, kind of word salad type of I'm nervous about this question answers.
Sure. Yeah.
When they were asking about Rodgers. And he said, quote, "For me to sit here and say anything's 100% forever, things can change. But right now, we're really happy with our room," end quote.
Interesting.
So he did not shut the door on it. He basically said, and Schefter reiterated this on one of the TV shows this morning, the Vikings kind of feel like they're in a good position because they like McCarthy and they are willing to go with McCarthy, but they want to see this Rodgers thing play out, and they'll just sit, and if he's still out there come, you know,
sure, camp
late summer,
yeah,
then maybe they kick the tires again on A-Ron.
Well, I mean, if you're Pittsburgh, I don't know where you go. There isn't another viable option. And if you're Aaron Rodgers and you piss off Pittsburgh or they decide to move on and they do find some other option, then there is one other choice for Aaron Rodgers, and that is, do you sit around and wait? Do you wait for a domino to fall? We know every year people get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, does Rodgers just stay in shape and wait either until camp? Does he wait until the first couple weeks of the season? So let's take, for instance, because right now, you know, if we're assuming Minnesota's in play, which I don't think that's the case, but we assume Minnesota and we assume Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh isn't a real contender. Pittsburgh is whatever. They're a decent enough team. You can make the playoffs. You're not going anywhere with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. Thanks for coming. Minnesota, you could, I mean, they won 14 games. If you're Aaron Rodgers, that one seems realistic, right? That you're like, hey, if I went there, maybe I could do something. You're not going to have a surprise team that's going to pop up that he's going to go play with that is garbage. So the other ploy for Aaron Rodgers is to sit around and wait for, let's say, let's say the Houston Texans. Let's say C.J. Stroud blows a knee week three and he goes down. Let's say, I'm just trying to think of a contending team. Someone in Philadelphia,
James,
you know, whatever, Niners, right? Someone goes down.
Rams?
And you, yeah, there you go. That's a perfect one, right? You know, Matthew Stafford goes down and you're the Rams and you're kind of all in, and the Rams have a very kind of squeeze window here with Matthew Stafford anyways. And that's the one where if you're in Rodgers, maybe it's worthwhile to just sit around. If you don't think Pittsburgh is a real contender. And by the way, I think that's why Aaron Rodgers isn't in Pittsburgh. If this was the Minnesota Vikings, I think Rodgers already signed.
So you think the Steelers want him, but yes, he doesn't want them.
Yes. I think Aaron Rodgers realizes that this is the last opportunity.
He wants to win a title.
He wants to win a title or at least make a deep run. And I think he knows that Pittsburgh, especially with two very, we talked about this, Aaron Rodgers is really, really specific about the type of offense he runs, and he wants his receivers to be on the Aaron Rodgers program to the point where he will not throw you the ball and he will try to get you benched if you are not where you're at when you're supposed to be there, right? Especially with some of the audibles, because he loves to do the Aaron Rodgers offensive line of scrimmage. And Pittsburgh has two of the most talented and volatile and undisciplined receivers in the league in George Pickens and DK Metcalf, who, by the way, have no problem telling their quarterback to go F himself. You cannot tell me that Aaron Rodgers wants to go spend his final year and his legacy trying to make that work in Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh is saying, yes, come here. And Rodgers probably looks at it and says, yeah, we can probably win 10 games. We can get into the playoffs. Pittsburgh makes the playoffs every year or is right there. But can I really be successful there? I don't think so. So maybe his best play is to sit around and wait. Maybe McCarthy's knee isn't healthy. Maybe McCarthy looks terrible in camp and you get desperate. Or maybe Purdy goes down or Stroud or whoever on a contending team. And if not, maybe he's content just walking off into the sunset and say, I'm going to go on my darkness retreat and do a bunch of ayahuasca and not suffer this.
What a hired gun, though.
Yes.
I mean, because he's still got...
The second half of the season in New York, it was not a bad...
Yeah,
like, he was not bad.
He's still got something.
Yes.
So that would... Yeah, I think that's actually more interesting than him going to Pittsburgh or Minnesota, that he's just sitting out there in case of an injury or if a team, you know, has some quarterback problems.
Yep.
Damn, dude. If I'm Pittsburgh, though, you have to just draft a guy, right?
But they're not in position. I mean,
well, you got to get in position. I mean, you got to make a trade. Like, what are they going to do? Who's out there?
This is where I feel like maybe Pittsburgh has finally reached the pinnacle of this. Seattle kind of had an element of this when they did what they did and kind of went in a different direction. And they moved on from Carroll, and now they've moved on from Geno and whatever you think of Sam Darnold. Like, they've had three straight years of winning 10 games, and it was like, we can't keep doing this, right? Pittsburgh has been doing this for like 8 years. And so maybe this is finally the one where enough is enough, and you just run Mason Rudolph out there and take your three. The problem is that even with Mason Rudolph, that son of a bitch, Mike Tomlin's going to win 10 games. You got to be bad. You got to be bad for a year and go find your quarterback, or draft one in the second or third round and play the Jackson Dart game.
Where's Flacco? Did he sign somewhere?
No, I think he's still out there. Because he was visiting the Giants, and they ended up going with Jameis and Russ.
So do you think Russ just got tired of waiting on Pittsburgh? Because the report was Russ wanted to be in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he got tired of waiting.
He's just like, dude, what are you doing?
Yes.
And they're like, well, we don't know because we haven't heard from Aaron.
Yes. And so Russ took the $21 million and guaranteed, and he gets to be a starter. In,
$10.5 guaranteed.
$10.5, yeah, but 21.
21 total.
21 total. Yeah. So I think he took it. And look, he knew that Pittsburgh didn't want him back. And, you know, you can't just sit around and wait.
But aren't they supposed to get Shadur?
They're going to get him anyways, yeah.
So they're going to have Shadur, Winston, and Russ?
Probably.
And Tommy Cutlets.
Tommy won't be back. But if you're the Giants, and this kind of makes sense, because if you're the Giants, always remember, too, when you think about what teams are doing, so much of it comes down to what position is the GM and the head coach in, and the Giants are one bad year away from getting everyone fired. So even if you're the Giants and you do draft Shadur Sanders, you better hope he has a hell of a rookie year or you're not going to be around to develop him. So maybe by drafting Shadur, because people are like, why would you draft Shadur if you sign Russell Wilson? Dude, Russ is not the answer to anyone's long-term problem. So you draft Shadur, right? And then you get Russ and you try to win 9-ish games. And then you go to ownership and say, look, we've stabilized this with Russ. We've already drafted our future quarterback. Give us time, and maybe that helps you keep your job. Because the Giants right now are in survival mode as a GM and a coach. Whereas, like, Tennessee's playing with a little bit of house money. They're going to get some runway. The Giants don't have that runway. So even with this, I would be surprised if the Giants don't take a run at a quarterback.
Mm. Well, the NFL draft is certainly crystallizing. We'll get to that, at least with the quarterbacks, in a minute. And there's one team in the NFL that they're already talking. People are talking. People are saying.
Word on the street.
They could have the toughest schedule ever. That is next as our NFL Thunder Thighs continues. But first, here's Thunder Thighs himself, Will with SportsCenter.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What does this song remind you of now?
No, it's kind of got, I feel like this is like some sort of 70s cop beat. Like it's like a Starsky and Hutch episode.
Well, I think Buck and I were on the same page with this, that if you've watched Severance, at the end of one of the episodes of Severance, they play that.
They play which?
I think it was early in season two.
Hmm.
And Buck and I had the same thought that, boy, it was just perfection.
Yeah.
Where they placed it.
They do a nice job with the music in that. And if you look into a deeper meaning, like, I mean, there's people that dig way down into that show. A lot of like the songs, like the lyrics and the meaning of the songs play perfectly into.
Yeah.
Like it's a really.
Did you watch the finale yet?
I did.
Pretty good, dude.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. You and I were on the same page about Severance season two.
I thought it kind of sucked.
And it was going slow, and yes. It's like it needed to get to the dangling carrot.
Yes.
And it did.
It did.
And it ramped up big time.
The end, it was...
It was good.
It was great. And then the end,
Well, they left a cliffhanger, so I know. Obviously there's a new season coming.
And it was a little wonky, but yes, the finale did a great job of redeeming what I thought had been a pretty crappy season.
That was a good finale.
Yes, it was.
Action.
And Milchek is my guy.
Milchek.
I love that guy. I'm sorry.
And there's a marching band.
The Department of Celebration and Merriment. Yeah. Sign me up. I love those guys. Anytime Milchek starts dancing, dude, you count me in.
If you ever win an award for anything,
yes,
which you probably won't,
no,
but if you do, I'm bringing in a marching band for you.
I'm trying to think, when's the last time you won an award?
I don't think I've won any awards ever.
We've been doing this for 20 years together. As far as I know, no award.
No awards. But
you guys
let's
were
just,
ranked.
Let's just
that's
say.
That's not an award.
Top 100. That's something to hang your hat on.
Well, it's Odyssey has awards, don't they?
Yeah, there's awards.
They give us little stars that we can hand out.
Yeah, but that's not an award. I get Odyssey points.
Yeah.
You know what's sad is the only award that I have won in, because when I played football, I won awards. I was award winning. The last award that I have won, and this is sad but true, is the Beach's Perfect Day Drinking Award. That is the last time that I have been rewarded for something with some form of certificate of achievement. And I'm not certain what that says about me and my life choices, but that's the only thing I can think of that I've won.
Well, if you ever win an award, dude.
Yeah, marching band.
I'm bringing in a marching band for you.
Well, and I will say this. If you ever go to New Orleans, and you should, it's one of my favorite cities on the planet. I believe with inflation now, I think it's up to $175. But for $175, you can go to their police department, and they will help you plan out your and give you a police escort. You can have your own New Orleans jazz parade.
Really?
Yes. $175.
Cool.
And then it costs you... I want to say to hire, I think for an hour, I've talked to a bunch of people. It's about $200 to hire a band. So for under $500, you can have your own parade with police escort around the French Quarter in New Orleans. So if you're down there, you will see people at family reunions, bachelor parties, bridal parties, whatever, and they will have their own parade and you can just join in and they love it when you join in. And, it's a grand old time. They have embraced the parade, and we do need more marching bands. The Department of Merriment and Celebration, the world would be better with more marching band celebrations.
Agreed. All right, well, a couple things to wrap up NFL Thunder Thighs. One is folks are already talking about the Eagles having the toughest schedule in history next year. I mean, they haven't actually put together the full schedule yet.
Yeah.
But we know who they're playing.
Sure.
And I am pulling it up on the fan here on Sports Talk.
On fan?
For you. Yes, that's me stalling because I'm pulling it up on the fan.
I already have it.
Okay, so who are they playing on the road? Go through their road game. And go slow, please.
Well, they have the division, right? So we know Cowboys home and away.
So two games against the Cowboys, two games against Washington,
yes,
and two games against the Giants.
And the Cowboys, by the way, I know last year they kicked rocks, but 2 years ago, Dallas was a 13-14 win team. Dak should be back. That's not a pushover. Giants could be improved, and Washington was a game away from the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So who do they have on the road?
This is just in order, so I don't know.
Oh, they already have the
I just know that they just listed them. So they get the Buffalo Bills on the road. That's a kick in the balls. They get the Chicago Bears at home. Chicago rebuilt their O-line. Brand new coach, should be good. They get the Denver Broncos at home. We know Denver's going to be quite good. They get the Detroit Lions at home. By the way, this schedule is awful.
It's rough.
At least some of these are at home. Then you're Then you're on the road against Green Bay.
Okay.
And then you're on the road against the Kansas City Chiefs.
They're pretty good.
Finally, you're at home against the Raiders. Okay. God, thank heavens. On the road against the Chargers.
Yikes.
Home against the Rams.
Okay.
Away against the Vikings.
God!
And away against the Buccaneers. Dude, that
is... They have one easy game.
Awful. freaking awful.
They have two games. They play the Giants and Raiders, but again, it's...
Yeah, division games, and the Giants could be better.
But this is a tough exercise because teams always...
Yeah.
You know, you never really know. So
we
can
get a team
lightly.
That falls off the page, but that
is... But that is rough, dude.
Brutal.
There wasn't a bad team in there outside of Giants, Raiders, who could be bad.
Yeah. That is atrociously hard.
Yeah. Hardest schedule ever, they're saying. We'll see it when it all...
Yeah, and we'll see what happens, right? Maybe Denver falls off. Maybe Washington is a bit of is fool's gold. You know, but just on paper, that is scary tough. I mean, honestly, you can make a case that the only games that you look at and you feel like that those are layups are the division games. You could say that the Giants and the Cowboys...
Well, you get the Raiders, I mean.
Yeah, the Raiders. That's it.
Who are the Raiders quarterback?
The Raiders are going with...
Who'd they go with? Oh, Geno.
Yeah, they traded...
boy.
Yeah. So, you know,
so
maybe the Raiders are improved, maybe?
The draft is crystallizing for quarterbacks anyway. I mean, while you were away, Cam Ward, now it's like...
Yeah, it feels
all
like,
of a sudden, everybody's like, well, there's no way Cam Ward's not the number one pick.
Yeah.
And that's because he had a good pro day. So he'll go to the Titans, and then the Giants, Sanders at three. And that's, you know, at that point, it's like a lot of them are saying Jackson Dart would be the third quarterback off the board. Some have him as high as 7 to the Jets. Others as low as 26 to the Rams.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
In the first round.
Yeah. This is going to be a weird quarterback draft because most of the people here don't. Look, in most drafts, none of these guys are the top quarterback. And some of them aren't even in the top three or four quarterbacks taken. But, you know, you need quarterbacks. And so, you know, you're going to take flyers on them. And we always talk each other into quarterbacks, right? We do this every year. Zach Wilson was a top pick, for God's sakes. And, you know, we kind of get this back and forth and, you know, everything from Shedeur Sanders not being a first round talent to now all of a sudden being the answer with the Giants because he's going to get to sit for a year. And Travis Hunter's falling in some drafts. I mean, it's such an inexact science, but it does feel like that we at least know 1, 2, 3. There's almost a universal consensus that Cam Ward and then Cleveland goes with Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
I've
seen Travis Hunter to Cleveland.
Or Hunter, yeah. And then you end up with Shedeur Sanders there in New York. Or, you know, maybe a team, you know, if you're Cleveland, I guarantee you're selling everybody that you're going to take Shedeur Sanders and you try to get someone to move up. I mean, that's going to be the smokescreen. If Cleveland is not interested in a quarterback, you have to make people believe that they have to move up to the two slot to grab their quarterback.
Yeah.
And then you get to trade down and get to take whatever defensive player you want, whether that's Carter or whether that's Hunter or whatnot. I still, my big draft take, and you know me, I like the draft. I like pouring into it. I find player evaluation fascinating. I do not understand the Travis Hunter thing. I don't get it. I think he's a solid player. I think he's a really, really good corner prospect. I do not think he's one of the best four or five corner prospects that we've seen even in the last 7 or 8 years. I don't think that you can play both ways. I know you can't play both ways in the NFL on any sort of consistent basis. And what I don't understand is whether you believe him as a receiver or a corner, if that's all he did, if he just played corner or he just played receiver, he would not be the number 1, 2, or 3 pick. So why is it that he is going to be a gadget player on one side of the ball? Why does that elevate him to this position? I don't understand it. This is one that I find quite puzzling and I can't quite process it.
Well, there's your NFL Thunder Thighs. Thank you.
I think Will was offended when you called him Thunder
Thighs. Well, I mean, it was a true statement 2 years ago. I don't think it is now.
Will's taken a lot of pride in being really skinny, and he's kind of got skinny O-line legs anyway.
Well,
so.
I mean, it didn't really, let's be honest, it didn't really fit because Thunder Thigh, like, who calls a dude Thunder Thighs? Yeah.
Well, that happens.
Like, Danny, you could call Thunder Thighs.
Does he have big thighs?
Danny's low to the ground. He's squat. There's some meat there. Will's more like flamingo legs.
Roadrunner.
Yeah, Roadrunner.
All right. Coming up next, why Duke is mad at White Lotus on The Fan. All right, well, we're getting a lot of F-bombs in here. Things are getting wild. BYU is not... Well, they cut it to 7, but they're suddenly down 14.
Yeah, every time they cut it to 7, Alabama goes down and hits a 3, and then BYU goes down, and we launch our own. And we are currently 4 of 20. 4 of 20! That's 20%, which
is up. But they're 3 of 5 in the second half.
Which is up from the robust 7% we shot in the first half. By the way, I would like to point out, last possession, we shot 3 three-pointers and missed all 3.
Oh, 3 of 8.
It's hard to win when you're shooting 20% from behind the arc.
Yeah. Got to knock down some more shots, bro.
Yeah. Alabama has attempted 48 threes, by the way, in case anyone was wondering.
Over's 40? Still going to hit.
Yeah, the over's still going to hit.
48?
48.
Did you say 48?
I said 48. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's overall field goals.
Yeah, okay.
Apologize.
That makes more sense.
Apologize. So 42?
They've shot 38 threes.
Oh, geez.
They've shot 47 field goals, and 38 of them are three-point attempts.
Wow.
And they're shooting 44% from the arc.
Okay, so they've come down a little bit. BYU stepped up that defense, that elite perimeter defense.
Da! Got a little excited there with the exciting whites when they cut it to 7 and then...
Well, if you've been watching White Lotus,
you
know that one of the families in there, they love... Well, Duke... The dad, Jason Isaacs,
yeah,
he wears a Duke shirt.
Yes. There's a battle between the Dukies and then the moms of North Carolina.
And White Lotus, very popular show. A lot of people are watching it. And Duke is not happy that this man is wearing a Duke shirt not because of him, but they felt they had to issue a statement because they feel that it went too far.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Do you know what this is referring to?
We're talking about the suicide, the dong, what are we?
Well, not the dong. I don't think he had a robe on when he dropped his dong.
Oh, I didn't know, because he's, you know, he did drop some dong.
He did. Yeah, we saw his dong, and but he was in a robe, so not a Duke shirt at that time.
He was wearing a Duke shirt when he was going to kill himself.
Yeah, and that's what they're upset about. This says... The school had to issue a statement.
Oh, let me just correct that. The school did not have to issue a statement. The school was a bunch of bitches, so they decided to issue a statement. You don't have to issue a statement for something that doesn't have anything to do with you.
Well, it does have something to do with
no,
them.
It
he
doesn't.
Has a Duke shirt on. felt they did have to issue a statement,
but they
and they did.
Have to.
And it said that the use of their logo without their permission is troubling imagery.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, it has spread across social media.
I want everyone now to wear a Duke shirt and do something troubling, and please put it online, hashtag Duke Troubling. Please do it, because F you, Duke.
Well, I think the thing that happened was the still shot of him with the gun to his head in the Duke shirt became kind of meme-y.
Sure.
It started floating around social meds.
Okay.
And, of course...
So we can't...
Duke did not like that.
We can't have that. That's
well, not according to them. By the way, he did not kill himself.
No, he did not.
He was just contemplating.
Yeah, the wife walked in.
Well, he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, but I would like to say that for every time Duke or someone does this, really, all you're doing is drawing attention to yourself and making you look more like a bitch. It's troubling, and we need to make a statement. No, you don't.
I actually think the better meme is the. It's the one of him standing at the window. There's no gun.
Just staring out.
He's just staring, and he looks sad.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a Duke shirt. That one looks pretty funny. That one is funny.
Yeah.
Like when you're trying to troll Duke online, you know?
Yeah. I will say that the Duke suicide, the photo, though, that is very memeable.
And it makes me sad.
Very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when if Duke is getting blown out, you know, it writes itself. Duke fans right now, you know. Anytime there's any sort of Duke scandal, Duke fans right now, you throw it in there. You know.
So here's what Frank Tramble, Duke's VP of communication, said.
Oh, Frank.
The White Lotus not only used our brand without permission, but in our view, uses it on imagery that is troubling, does not reflect our values or who we are, and simply goes too far.
I hate to tell you this. Is it Frank?
Yes.
Yeah, they don't need your permission to wear your T-shirt. That's... not a thing.
Suicide is the second leading cause of death on college campuses. As imagery from the show is being shared widely across social media, we are using our brand to promote mental health awareness and remind people that help is available.
Way to go, Frank. Way to take a show and turn it into something else. Because
Frank's stepping up there.
I'm sure that's what kids are doing all across campus right now. They're like, wait, that guy from White Lotus was going to kill himself and he went to Duke. Me too. I'm going to go ahead and off myself.
Of all the schools that could have gone viral with that meme with the gun, don't you think Duke's the only one that would have issued a statement like that?
No, the smarty schools. I could see like a Princeton, Yale, anything like that.
Really?
Yeah, I could see that. He's got to be a pompous and kind of a douchey group. I every now and then, like people... I do this sometimes. I'll say like gun to my head, you know, hey, you gotta make a choice, gun to my head. And I've had people in the text line that get all bent out of shape and be like, that's, you can't say that. Actually, I can. And I just did. So take the cob out of your ass. Okay. I love this idea that somehow if we don't speak the name suicide or you don't, like, you just never bring it up, that it's just, that's going to eliminate it. Dude, people aren't killing themselves because of memes or someone saying, hey, gun to my head. That's never happened in the history of suicide. But somehow you think that by just ignoring it, that that's the reason why. Maybe this actually can lead to someone having a conversation about something, not you doing a whiny, bitchy statement about it. God. I love that. We were forced to issue a statement. No, you weren't. There's not some meme police out there that sent Duke a letter that was like, if you don't respond to this memeing right now, you will face serious consequences. There's not a government office of meme that fines you if your meme goes viral and you don't respond to it. I love that. I see these like celebrities do this all the time. You know, this is like the Stephen A. Smiths of the world. You know, I had to make a response. No, you didn't. You didn't have to make a response. You chose to make a response, and you made it worse.
He's so a bitch.
Get bent, Duke.
All right, the club is next. Crazy foods, and don't shovel dirt on radio just yet. Next on The Fan.